Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. As I mentioned before, we're in the midst of our fall missions emphasis, or our missions convention. And although we want to keep a global vision for missions, we want to reach the world because God wants to reach the world. And there are still a lot of places that still haven't had a witness of who Jesus Christ is. It's hard to believe. I don't know how many, but there are many peoples in the world who have not been reached with the gospel. And we want to maintain that. But our focus this year, because sometimes our focus is always out there, we forget about here. And so our focus this year for our missions convention has been mission, or our theme has been missions in our backyard. And the guests that we've had have reflected this. We had Teen Challenge last week. How many were blessed by their ministry? It was awesome. Earlier we had Jeff Graves. He's starting a church in New London. And then later we're going to have next week, Mike Strawn is going to be with us. And he's going to be starting a church in Waterford. So we're very excited about what God is doing in the area. But this morning, I'd like to talk about what God wants to do here and who God wants to use to reach this place for Jesus and for the kingdom of God. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the title of the message is, "You're a missionary, you just don't know it." Reading from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of His Word today. Father, we give all glory and honor and praise to You. We thank You, God, for being with us here today and for moving by the power of Your Holy Spirit upon our lives. God, as we talk about, Lord, Your heartbeat, world missions and local missions, we pray for the Holy Spirit to move upon us today. I pray You give words to this speaker, and I pray, God, You give us all ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying. And we ask this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you read the Gospels and even the book of Acts, you'll see Jesus talk about many things, but there was a theme that Jesus brought up repeatedly in those last 40 days before He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And that theme, or I guess better said, that command, was for His disciples to become missionaries, or to reach people with the gospel. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." If you go over to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." If you read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, Jesus says basically the same thing. He told them, "This is what is written, Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." And then in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said. And I think that's again because he said that over and over again. "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then, of course, our theme text this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What do you think the message that Jesus was trying to get across to His followers before He left? Now, he taught them many things. Now, think of yourself. Have you ever gone on a trip and left your kids to watch the house by themselves? With young kids, I'm sure you haven't, but older kids you have. What is the last thing you usually tell your kids? You tell them the things you want them to take care of after you leave. You know, make sure the stove is off. Make sure the refrigerator door is shut. Make sure if you leave, you lock the door. All those things you find very important that you want them to do and you don't want them to forget. And here we have five different times, not four, four Gospels and then the book of Acts. Five different times, Jesus, in speaking and teaching to his disciples, he says, I want you to go and preach the gospel everywhere. Start here, move through Judea, go up north to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is the most important thing. I have died so that you might have eternal life. But I don't want you just to keep that wonderful gift for yourself. I want you to share it with other people. So not only have you received, freely you have received, now freely give. Go preach the gospel everywhere. And it begins here. And so this morning I'd like to talk about the calling that we have as Christ's disciples to do the very same thing. To preach Jesus, to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. So that the world will be reached, not just everywhere else, but here as well. Because sometimes I think we think missions is something that somebody else does in some place far away. And other than that, it doesn't have anything to do with me personally. And I don't mean that completely. I know many of you are devoted to missions. But again, there is a mindset in the church that missions is someplace else that, you know, someone who's, you know, at an altar or some kind of special service, God speaks to him and says, go to this land or go to this country. That is a missionary. But is that truly what a missionary is? And yes, that is, but is that solely what a missionary is? Of course, when we think of missions, we think of the importance of giving, and that is important. Missions is the heartbeat of God. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And the book of Romans, chapter 10, I believe, says they cannot be saved without a preacher. People must go and tell. And people can't just go on a wing and a prayer. They need giving. And to truly demonstrate whether or not you have a heart for missions, if you truly have a heart for missions, you'll have a giving heart towards missions. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, giving is very, very important in missions. But there's a mindset, if I give, and I hope all of you give to missions, not for my sake, but for the gospel's sake and for your sake as well. But as long as I give to missions, I have fulfilled my missionary obligation. I write my check out faithfully, maybe a one time, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, and so I fulfilled the calling of God upon my life for missions. And of course, the reason for our mission, fall missions emphasis is yes, to encourage people to give, but it's also to encourage people to pray. You talk to any missionary, if you could only give them one thing, without a doubt, I am sure that they would rather have your prayers than your giving. Because God can bring money from anywhere. And a lot of times He does bring it from anywhere. He brings it from the world and gives it from the church. But one thing God cannot, or one thing missionaries cannot get from the world, and that's prayer. Well, that's a necessary thing in order for hearts to be opened up to the Word of God, for blessing and protection to be upon missionaries. Luke chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, great chapter of prayer, talks about prayer for missions. Jesus telling His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And so there's also, you know, the kind of the next degree of missions. I'm really in support of missions. If I not only give, I write my check every month or week or whatever it might be, but I also pray. And let me tell you, there are many ways that you can pray for missionaries. We put a missionary once a week in the bulletin to pray for. This week it's Teen Challenge, the folks that we had out last week. So this week, pray for Teen Challenge. You can get an app on your iPhone or your Droid. And daily they have a missionary. You can look at that. I mean, there's so many ways, and people that have touched your heart, different prayer cards, pray for them. They need your prayers. Sometimes we think, you know, I wrote my check, I prayed my prayer, and I have fulfilled my obligation for missions. And those things are wonderful and good and necessary. But have we truly fulfilled our obligation if we just do those things? Sometimes, and I think it's great, this year we sponsored a missions trip where people went up to Maine and ministered. And that's wonderful. And maybe you prayed for that or even participated in that. So I actually did quote-unquote missions. So I pray, I give, and I go do every so often. So I fulfilled my calling for missions, but is that what God is really calling us to? Is that really fulfilling the calling upon our lives to be missionaries? Yes, missions is something we should have in our heart to reach the world. But the zeal that we should have, to reach the world should in no way be greater than the zeal that we should have to reach our own town for Jesus Christ. Because who are missionaries? Yes, missionaries are those individuals that God speaks to and says, go to a foreign land, I want you to preach and teach and disciple. But according to the Word of God, missionaries are everyone who calls upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Once again, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just take a look at this verse. Now, who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to the apostles, but at this time, they hadn't quite received that promotion yet. They're still the disciples. So he's calling the disciples to do what? To go everywhere and to make what? Disciples. Or basically duplicate themselves. What I have done in you, I want you to go and do in other people. And I want you to do it everywhere. So God is saying, disciples, I want you to make disciples. Well, if the disciples are called to replicate themselves, then the disciples that they have reached, what is now their responsibility? Go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And so on and so forth and so on. And so the responsibility of the of every disciple, and if you and what a disciple is a follower of Jesus, is to obey the Word of God. Jesus said to the Jews who believe Him, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. Is to follow Jesus. An important, critical element of following Jesus is to make other disciples. So as we see in Scripture, as far as being a missionary, everyone has that calling upon their lives. And if God hasn't called you to go to a faraway place to be a missionary, then God has called you to be a missionary where you're at. So, actually, for a missions convention, maybe I should have all you come up and we'll take a special offering for you. But I don't know about you, when I think of missionaries, and think of missionaries, especially those who go into faraway lands, and the calling responsibility that's on their lives. You know, one of the things that would come to my mind is, where do I start? You know, you go into a foreign land, they speak a different language. They have different cultures. and different ways of doing things. Their laws are different. Everything's different. It can be very, very overwhelming. But if you think about it, if we're thinking about reaching our own towns and cities for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if we are missionaries, it can also be equally overwhelming and equally intimidating to try to reach our city for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the need is so great. Our situation in the world is so difficult. Where do we start? Well, the first thing that we need to understand as far as understanding now that we are missionaries is figuring out, what is my mission? Or what am I called to do? And the first thing that, in order to fulfill this calling upon our lives and to be the missionaries that God has called us to be, is understand where we are called. You know, disciples, and you know, if you don't really know what to do, where to start, how to go about it, you're no different than the disciples themselves, because they kind of seem like a very, very confused lot. And Jesus knew this. And so Jesus gave them an answer to the question on their heart as far as where do they start? How do they fulfill this great calling upon their lives? In John chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says, "Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest." So what in a sense was Jesus saying here as far as where we were to reach? The world that is, just open up your eyes and look. He wasn't talking about a literal field. He was talking about what is God, or what is the desire of God as far as harvesting for the kingdom. It's not lands and gold. It's not buildings. All these things will pass away. I think that was in one of the songs, something about disappearing like snow. All this will pass away. The only thing that will exist beyond time that is on this earth today is the human soul. That is what God is looking to harvest. And so what Jesus was saying, you want to look where the harvest is, just open up your eyes. It's everywhere around you. And as a believer, you should understand that if you truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're truly serving Him, the place that you are at, you're not there by coincidence. It is your mission field. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So your mission field is basically where you live. Your job is your mission field. I doubt your job is going to invite myself or an evangelist or turn on religious broadcasting to have them preach the gospel. There are souls there that Jesus Christ wants to harvest for His kingdom. And whether you like it or not, you have been sent as a missionary. And the word missionary means sent one. You've been sent to reach your job, your co-workers for Jesus. Your home is your mission field. I know, and there are some families, and I grew up, you know, in a Christian family. Even the cat was saved. Now, the cat wasn't saved, but you know what I mean. Everybody was saved. But many families aren't like that. And they're our mission field. And listen, they're hard to reach, and the hardest people to reach are people that you know. They're the hardest people to witness to, and they're the people who don't want to open up to you, especially regarding spiritual things. But you've been sent there for a witness. Your friends, not all of us, you know, and it's healthy not to have just Christian friends. It's good to have non-Christian friends, not friends that will drag us down. Those are relationships that need to be severed. But we are to be salt and light, which means we need to be out in the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the world. That means it has to be out there. So the relationships you have, your coworkers, your family, your friends, your neighbors, people you come in contact with in the store, those different opportunities to share Jesus. That's the wheat that's ready for harvest. Also, it's understanding who you are. And God, the calling upon your life to reach people is not just the people where you are as far as in your life, but the people who are like you. Most often, that you know, our relationships and the people that we can relate most to are people who are like us, that have similar life experiences. One of the things that I love about the church and should be evident in the church is that it's made up of different people of different ages, different ethnic groups, different socioeconomic classes. So that when we speak with others in the circle of our lives, we're able to relate with them. And so the calling that we have, the souls that God wants us to reach, the harvest that God wants to reap through our lives, not only where we live, but who we are as people. If you're an academic, God wants to use you to reach academics. If you're blue collar, God wants to reach you to reach blue collar. You understand their needs. If you're a mom, God wants you to touch moms and dads and so on and so forth. And I don't mean this funny, I mean this in all seriousness, but one of the things I feel God in this community has called me to reach are other ministers. Because there are ministers in this town who don't know Jesus. And I have the opportunity for a relationship with them and been able to share my testimony with them. And we can relate because, you know, we have similar vocations. That's to whom we are called. We need God to transform how we look at people. They're our mission field. Secondly, not only do we need to understand where we are called or to whom we're called to, because the mission field, remember, is people. It's wherever God plants you, but it's people. Second, we need to understand what we're called to do. And of course, the basic answer, the simple answer on this, we're called to evangelize, we're called to disciple, called to tell people about Jesus. And let me tell you, it's important to remember Scripture, but it's also important to know personally what Christ has done in your life. The best way you can win someone to Jesus is letting them know what Jesus did in your life and how you came to know Him. But as a missionary, you can do so much more for the kingdom. Everyone, and I'm not trying to take away from the preaching and teaching of God's Word and mentoring. Those are all things that are very important. But Scripture also teaches that we're to invest our talents for His kingdom. And when we invest our talents, it's not just investing them here in the church, although that's important. It's investing what God has given us out in the world. You've all got something that you can do to help someone out. Some type of skill that you might have in your life. Maybe you're a financial whiz and you can help someone out who's in financial difficulty with wisdom. Maybe you're skilled with your hands. And so someone who maybe they can't afford and they don't have the know-how, maybe they're like me, I'm terrible at home, I'm unhandy Randy. You can bless me. I know Jesus, but you can bless me. But you see what I'm saying? You can give them advice or even help them, you know, build that porch or replace that sink or something. If you're a cook, you can provide a meal, and anyone can throw something together. You might be sitting there, well, you know, Pastor Randy, that's all well and good, but, you know, we're called to preach the gospel, and yes, we are. But part of preaching the gospel is investing our lives in other people's lives. Jesus said, whoever gives a cup of water in my name shall no wise what? Lose their reward. Our witness is not just what we speak. Our witness is who we are. And, you know, I'm not trying to take away from being people who live for Jesus and who walk with Christ and who display the fruits of the Spirit. That's important too. But who give of ourselves to others. Even if it's a cup of water, if it's in Christ's name, it has an impact for the kingdom. If it didn't, Jesus wouldn't reward us for it and encourage us to do it. Even a small thing. So we're called to invest our talents. But we also need to understand that the calling of God on our lives to invest ourselves in people. And let me just back up just a little bit. Being a missionary not only means working out in the world, but also in the church, because part of the mission of the church is to keep people for Jesus. And if we don't have anything going on here to encourage people in their walk with Christ, we might have a lot of decisions, but those decisions may quickly fall away. So in addition to, you know, investing our talents and the basics of evangelism, we need to understand if we're missionaries, God, I was going to say may possibly, but I'm going to change that to will probably call us to do something that we're not comfortable in doing. Now, I've never surveyed a lot of missionaries about this. I love talking to them, and they've got a zeal. But I think in the flesh, if I was to ask some missionaries, would you like to go to this such and such a land, you know, maybe in the bush in Africa or the jungles of South America or, you know, some place uncomfortable where there's bugs and heat and, you know, the water's kind of funky colors and the food is really, really strange. Let me tell you who I have come in contact with. A lot of them at Bible school. People who God called to go into the ministry to pastor, to be an evangelist, or to be a missionary. Who wanted nothing to do with standing up in front of people or leading people. They were more like quiet people. Like to be in the background. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes to them one day, taps them on the shoulder, I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a preacher, a teacher. Other people as well. Who, me? Do that? Jesus said, many are called and few are chosen. I think actually many people are called to do something that they are not comfortable with. And I'm not saying it's solely relating to being a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, someone who goes someplace else. But even in our own lives, as missionaries to Norwich or whatever town you're in, and as members of the Norwich Assembly of God, the Holy Spirit, yes, will call you to share your testimony and tell people about Jesus. And yes, if you've got a talent, invest that talent in someone in the name of God. They may tap you on the shoulder and say, I want you to work with children, of all things. Or work with the aged. I'm not saying the two are the same. They're different. But an area that you're not comfortable working with. That's part of it. Why does God do that? For a number of reasons. He brings us to callings or calls us to places and things that we're not comfortable with. So that we will depend upon Him more. but primarily so that He will receive the glory. That we'll know, and others as well will know, that it's not us, it's Him. If we truly want to fulfill our mission, our calling, we must be open to the uncomfortable thing that God may call us to do that we may not want to do. And thirdly, very similar, now we realize that we're missionaries. If we know Jesus, we need to understand what our message is. And yes, our message is the gospel that Jesus saves. We observed what Christ did this morning in the partaking of Holy Communion. But you, as a unique person, have a unique message to share. In addition to the gospel, your life and your testimony, your story, can have a great impact on people for the cause of the gospel. God just hasn't given you His Word, and I'm not trying to take anything away from His Word. His Word is powerful. But He's also given you life experiences. Who here who has known Jesus after you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior hasn't gone through some type of struggle? Whether it be sickness, or divorce, or abuse, unemployment, or financial problems. You know, the myriad of things that can happen in your life. We've all, if you've lived any amount of time, we've all gone through at least one and some many of these things. And if you're serving Jesus and you're walking with Jesus, not only have you gone through these valleys and your storms and these storms, but Jesus has gone through them with you. And you've been brought through the other side. Or God, when you're in the lowest part of the valley, has come in and rescued you. People need to hear that. People need to hear more than just the powerful words of the gospel. They need to understand. And again, please don't get me wrong. I don't want to misconstrue, because all people need are the words of God. But let me tell you, when people understand that God is real, and you can share your own testimony, you all have a testimony of what God has done in your life, it's so much more powerful. It adds to what the Word of God is. You're able, in going through these things, in being that missionary, to share the things that you've learned through those struggles. Those struggles weren't for nothing. I know, as I went through cancer, that I just learned so much more about who Christ is and the depth of His love for me. Many people who get cancer, they don't get it. They think God hates them. I found the love of God. Even if I died, I still would have understood the love of God. Would have gone to my grave, and will go to my grave whenever that time comes, knowing that God loves me. The ways that you have grown. And again, this isn't solely for people who don't know Christ. This is also for people who have accepted Christ as their Savior, because they too will go through struggles. The grace that you have experienced during those times, how real Jesus was to you when you were at your lowest, how God reached out to you, whether it was by His Spirit or by maybe a song or a word coming to your heart, or maybe someone saying or doing something in your life. People need to hear that and know that. It's your message that God has given you to reach your world. The triumphs, the testimonies, to build your faith. Folks, people even need to hear your failures. I had a teacher, and I've mentioned this before, and he mentioned how you learn more from, it was a calculus teacher of all things. He says you learn more from your failures than you do your successes. And let me tell you, friend, especially if you've been living for God for a long time, you might look at your past and just see failure. Even in your failure, you have something to share for the benefit of others. These are the mistakes I've made. Don't make them. God can, because God is God, God can be glorified. And if you let Him, if you're free with your story, God will even be glorified in your failure. In fact, you might find another failure. I hate to use that word. But someone who has failed. And understand two are better than one. Hey, you know, I'm going through the struggle you're going through. Let's try to go through this together and beat it together with God. And find someone who shares the same pain and anguish in your heart and the struggle in your heart. Don't think that failure hinders your ministry at all. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. Hallelujah. And I'd like us all to stand as they begin to play. And let's just bow our heads this morning and our hearts this morning. Glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I'm not here to judge anyone this morning. I just know because, as I mentioned, I'm a church boy. I was basically born in church, raised in church. I know the mindsets that a lot of time come in people who've been going to church for a while. And growing up in church, every thought of missionaries, we thought of someone coming in with a funky costume and maps and a table with all the knickknacks, talking about what they were doing someplace else. And we're never to lose our vision for someplace else. We should always have that vision and burden, and we should pray and we should give. But we should also understand that the calling on that man and woman, man or woman's life to go someplace else is also upon our lives if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. To reach the place that He has called us to, which is wherever we're at, our cities, our job, our families. And so this missions convention, this fall emphasis this morning, we're going to pray together and we're going to ask God to just transform our minds in the holy name of Jesus. And help us to understand not only the fact that we, if we are His disciples, we're His missionaries, and that we'll also understand how to go about it, how to reach our lives, how to reach the harvest field that we've been planted in with the gospel of Jesus Christ.